Hello and welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm your host, Tara Henry, joined by Rhiannon Potke. We are heading into week 10 of play. Rhi, how are you doing this week? And first and foremost, what was the biggest headline that we saw last week?
Yeah, I'm hyped, man, because we had perfect. I mean, we had perfection. That is, softball is trending nationwide because of Hope Troutwine from North Texas. Hope is dope. She's a podcast friend. She's been on our show before she went famous, which I joked with her because, let me tell you, folks, Hope was loyal. She's, you know, I thought she's going to big time D1. She's going to be like Wall Street Journal, ESPN, all these people. But she came on our pod. She is our players only guest. After throwing a perfect 7-inning game where she struck out all 21 batters. Her team literally could have sat in the dugout and not been on the field, and they still would have won the game on defense because she didn't need any – aside from the catcher, obviously. We need the catcher.
You know, people are giving the team flack on Twitter. I'm like, listen, they've been standing there the whole game.
Well, I honestly, we talked to Hope and they really didn't know what was going on because she struck out 21 before. So this is not new. This is, but the perfect part was, so this is the crazy part with Hope. I mean, she's like 21's like no big deal, but the perfect part. So her teammates are probably like, we see this all the time. So
that's what I said. I was talking to somebody, I said, listen, this is old hat for Hope and UNT. Like, this is nothing new. I mean, Hope deals almost every other game, so it's not anything new. It just so happened that I believe it was the first time in NCAA history. Is that right?
Yes, the first where you struck out 21 7-inning game in the NCAA Division I history for a 7-inning game with 21 strikeouts. You know, first in program history of a perfect game, no matter what. Just craziness. And the thing is, too, that it was the first game of a doubleheader, so they had against Arkansas Pine Bluff. So that was part of the thing, too, is they had to kind of refocus and get back. She's on the pod. She's amazing. We'll have the interview. She gave some really, really fun background stuff, how, you know, her boyfriend's like, you're on SportsCenter, and, like, her roommate was taking an exam, so she had to, like, wait to tell her, and she's like, I have to wait till she's done with this test, and then it's really fun to see how she's, cause it's something that doesn't happen obviously all that often. And to a, you know, to someone at a mid major too, she describes that. She says, you know, any little girl can go to any school and achieve big things. So you got to stick around. She's back. She's our first, you know, on the players only, the first one we've had back, but I told her like, this is a great reason. I mean, perfection. So she's a fun, and it's been a whirlwind for her national media wise. She told me just all these places, and credit to North Texas and her for making, you know, you don't get this spotlight very often, and they're doing the best, and you know, so it's awesome. So yes, we will have Hope. That is the biggest headline coming out of the weekend. Hope Troutwine. So stay tuned for this pod, but we're going to get into some other stuff before we get to her interview.
Yeah. So we had Hope with that perfect game. And then out west, we had UCLA number 2 versus number 3 versus Oregon. What a matchup. Oregon took the first game. Brooke Yanez, she was brilliant in the circle again for Oregon. But then UCLA came back and won the next 3 on the road. Stanford at Arizona State. I don't know if you watched any of those games, but it was a dogfight there out in the desert. So just lots of play in the pack, and excited to see what they go do going forward. And then the Big Ten, I was glued to that Minnesota Northwestern series. Amber Pfizer and Autumn Pease were great in the circle. Kemet Mueller got tossed in game one of the doubleheader on a play at home, which she did, you know, she did get into Danielle Williams a little bit. I'm not sure it warranted an ejection, but she came back and in that second game, she hit a bomb to come right back. So that was just a great series to watch. And Rhi, what did you see? Any other series that you noticed this past weekend?
Oh, yeah. We had the big one, the SEC, Alabama-Arkansas. Arkansas was undefeated in the SEC 12-0. And the Tide took the series. They won the series 2-1 at Bogle Park, so at Arkansas. Montana Fouts, great, great performance. 2 complete games. No earned runs given up, 23 Ks. They you know, the one game she got in a little trouble was because her error led to the unearned runs, but she, you know, she more than compensated by shutting down a really, really, really prolific Arkansas lineup that hits home runs, you know, in bunches. Autumn Storms had a great performance in that mid game where they, the Arkansas, where they took that game, but credit the Tide, man, they went in there and they knocked Arkansas. But you know what? Arkansas did enough to prove that they, you know, they, it was legit. We all knew that. I know there are some people that are, hey, who they played, but it was just a really good series. And then another series, you know, this, which I was interested to see how this one went, but the Kentucky Georgia, that one was crazy. That doubleheader, Georgia gets, I mean, honestly, Georgia won the series, but it was amazing. They got run ruled in the first game, which weather delay, all this stuff. So the doubleheader on Sunday, they lost the first game by run rule. They're down 8-1 in the sixth inning of game two. And you're thinking, oh man, this is just going to be, this series is so disappointing. And I keep looking up as a home run. All of a sudden it's like, okay. And then Sarah Mosley, bam, 3-run home run. They're up 9-8. They hold on to win. And then Monday night, and they won the series. They came back and Mosley was again pretty clutch, 4 RBIs. So Georgia wins that. It was within like a few minutes, that whole series just completely went the opposite way. So that was a really fun one to watch. And they had the SEC Network spotlight Monday night. So really, you know, kudos to the Bulldogs, man. They kept fighting. They never gave up. And a lot of people on Twitter were like, that's why the run rule, you know, maybe we shouldn't have the run rule, which in some instances, yes. In some instances, I'm like, we need the run rule because it's 23-0. But I get it. That's the one example where you could point where, hey, maybe if it wasn't in play. And then the last one, why was in ACC, FSU over Duke. One reason I want to bring this up, it's great, two great teams, but the sweep was, you know, was concluded on a walk-off squeeze bunt by Anna Shelnut, which I love my walk-off squeeze bunts. And FSU is the best at manufacturing runs this season. Everyone else is hitting the long ball. FSU is bunting runs over and hitting, like, you know, single RBIs up the middle. So they swept that series, which is key. And they're, you know, perennial power there. But, man, it's been fun to watch some of the series between those.
Any other updates before we get into our players only segment, Bree?
No, I'm really excited about this. Like, I love talking to Hope. So I think every listener is probably excited to hear what she has to say. So, you know, and they'll really enjoy it. And, you know, we know with the UNT, there's ice cream involved. So hint, there's going to be some ice cream talked about because, you know, Rodney's got the ice cream hookup, but there's some stipulations to that ice cream. So stay tuned now to listen to why and how they got their ice cream and if they did.
I love it. All right. With that, here we have Rhiannon Potke with Hope Trotline and the players only segment of the D1 Softball Podcast.
Hello, I am Rhiannon Potke, and welcome to D1 Softball's players only segment of the podcast. This week, we're tweaking it up a little bit. We usually have a rotating group of a few players, but because such a historical milestone happened on over the weekend, we're really just focusing on one player like the entire nation is doing, and that is North Texas pitcher Hope Trotwine. And if you're a softball fan, unless you've been under a rock for the past few days, you haven't heard of this, but Hope threw a perfect, perfect game. I mean, we're not talking just, this is about as perfect as you can get. She struck out all 21 batters in the 7-inning perfect game. The first player in NCAA Division I history to record a 21-strikeout, 7-inning perfect game in the 3-0 victory over University of Arkansas Pine Bluff. It was also the first perfect game in UNT program history. The funny thing is the 21-strikeout performance is the third of Hope's career. It's not like this 21 thing is like really uncommon for her, which is crazy in itself. And her second this season, because she's the first repeat podcast guest on this segment, because when she did the 21 earlier, we had her on in the middle of that Texas storm from heck, I guess you could call it, where everything was all out of whack, and she still found a way to come on for the podcast. And again, it's amazing because I said, hey, you're probably too big time now for the D1 Softball Podcast, but she made time because she's very loyal to the softball audience. So Hope, thank you so much for joining us in the middle of this whirlwind media tour you're on this week.
Thank you. It's been exciting.
Yeah, let's really start there because, you know, I mean, softball here and there gets the big national spotlight, but I'm a kind of a news freak, so I read everything, and I've seen it in places I never have seen softball before, the story. So how has all the national attention been for you in the last, 24 to 48 hours?
It's been nuts. It's been nonstop phone blowing up, nonstop messages, DMs, nonstop interviews. I've interviewed with some major news outlets. The one was like really shocking was like the Wall Street Journal, because I have to watch that podcast for like class assignments, and I have to read New York Times for like news quizzes. So I was like, am I going to be in a quiz? Or am I going to be in an assignment? But that was like so crazy. It's been just amazing seeing the attention that this is getting.
Yeah, that's I mean, I saw it there too. I've seen it almost everywhere, and it's kind of a good time for it too, because there's not like, if it was the NCAA tournament a few weeks ago, maybe it would have not gotten quite as much. It's a little lull right now. So, for you to get softball elevated into the national consciousness like this is pretty cool. And I mean, everyone's, no matter, I don't care what level of softball you have to strike out all 21. I think, your infield is probably like, Hope, dude, do we even need to be standing out here? Like, what are we doing? Why don't you take us through that start? How did you feel? Kind of just walk us through kind of the whole feeling of the game from your perspective in the circle.
Well, during the warm-up, me and my catcher and my pitching coach, we set like an approach for the game. And that approach was hit corners, throw hard. We weren't going to let up, considering the team we were playing. And just really like pound the zone and really get in the zone. And I felt really confident going into that game, going and executing that game plan. And my catcher, Ashlyn Walker, she's so cute. She's a little freshman. She jumped right in with me, didn't even hesitate. And she's just really been really good behind the plate and working corners and working the umpire and working my movement. So that the game was easy with them and pitch calling and working behind the plate. And it's the first time through the lineup, it's like, all right, well, 1, 2, 3, we're good. And the game's going by fast, and it's hard to get caught up in that. And so I had to like remind myself, breathe, focus, like just we're throwing hard, hit in the zone. And the second time through the lineup was a little bit more competitive. But I got it done, and it just ended up being this great game. I didn't even like realize it was really happening.
When did you know it was, I mean, did you know it was perfect throughout? I mean, you've had a perfect game before, but did you know, or when did you kind of realize like, oh my gosh, this is really special?
Well, this is my first perfect game. I've had a couple no hitters in the past.
Okay.
I knew it was a perfect game because, you have to say it's a perfect game. And I could hear my teammates in the dugout like whispering, shh, don't say anything. Like, don't jinx it. Don't say anything. And that was kind of funny. But I guess it didn't register that all of the outs were strikeouts until after the game, when Tate, our sports SID, came up with the game ball. He was like, do you realize what you just did? I was like, no. He's like, you just had 21 strikeout perfect game. He's like, I don't think anyone's done that ever. I was like, oh my gosh, I think you're right. And it was just one game of the doubleheader that day. So my mind is like, all right, well, we got one win down onto the next one. So I didn't really get to like sit and take in that whole game, because it was just 30 minutes later, we had to start game two. But it's been crazy ever since.
Wow. Yeah. So you had never even hit like nothing, no perfect game before, which, even at high school or anything, this I would assume it's hard to do, but there's a few that have done at that level, but this was your first year career ever. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you've had the 21 strikeouts before. That's, for you, that's old hand, but the perfect part.
I called my brother because it's so funny. He was like, dude, the first time, this is in February earlier this year, he was like, dude, like, why would you strike out all of them? Like, those girls have families, like joking. And then I called him right after it happened, and he was like, oh, you got to stop doing this. And he was like, I told my roommates about it, and they were like, she used to do this all the time. He was like, that's not impressive anymore.
You're normalizing it. People are going to expect, like, why aren't you having 21 strikeouts, Hope? Like, what's wrong with you today? Did you eat right? What's the deal? That's crazy. Yeah. And I mean, that's did this one feel different than the other 21 strikeout performances? I mean, or did it feel about the same, or did it feel any different to you?
This one, I was a little bit more calm, cool, collected. I think my defense has a vibe behind me. They're very confident and they're very comfortable with me on the mound. And that's like, it's so easy to pitch for. But like my previous no hitters, like I threw one my freshman year, one my sophomore year, very different player then. I've matured a lot. my freshman year, I was so anxious every time. I was like, is this going to be the pitch that's going to break it? Is this going to be the pitch they're going to hit on? I was so nervous to throw every pitch. And this one, I was just going with my game plan.
Wow. Yeah, and I know people commented, and it kind of makes sense because the doubleheader, but how there was kind of a muted celebration, if any, like they were like, we would have jumped on you, but it was it because like they didn't really know, or why do you think that was the case per se? Like it was very just like, ho-hum, like let's just get on to the second doubleheader.
I don't know. it was, I guess it's just normal for me. Like they're very confident in me. So I guess that's just, I feel like they didn't know, and I think that's fair, but it was just on to the next one that day. And then of course that night they were like, that's awesome, like I didn't know you were the first person to do that ever. So it's my team does, they did later support me, but I just didn't think they knew.
Yeah, I would imagine that's probably part of it. It's just, you know, it I mean, unless someone's telling them, like you can kind of know, but then you're thinking, wait, was there something that happened that I just missed? Or, I mean, you hope you didn't if you're in the game, but how did you celebrate? I mean, that night, I know, like you said, you're in the middle of a series and then you had a Monday game too. So it wasn't like you could just like drive home and scream on the bus the whole way back to, how did you celebrate, or did you, I mean, in any way that was different from what you would a normal start?
I don't think we really celebrated. I mean, Coach got us pizza. And we got ice cream on the way home, so that's
I was
fun.
Gonna ask, it's a North Texas tradition. Let's establish this North Texas tradition to get ice cream after a sweep, usually on the road. Isn't that the thing? So was he gonna pull any strings to make it a spot? If you hadn't swept, would he still have gotten the ice cream for the team considering what you did? Or did we get a double scoop here? Or give us some of the ice cream?
I don't think so. it's funny. It's obviously like so over the moon, and he just loves it. But I don't know if we would have gotten ice cream if we wouldn't have slipped.
No, Rodney's tough, man. That ice cream standard is high. What kind of ice cream did you get, Hope? What was the perfect game ice cream?
A Reese's Blizzard.
Oh, look at you. That is a perfect ice. That's like my coolest person that's reached out, or that you've heard from, or that's retweeted, or, you know, in terms of, you know, since the milestone happened.
I think Lauren Chamberlain, she quote tweeted it, and I like lost my mind. It was insane. And then you see like Jen Schroeder and Marina Scarborough, and I'm like, oh my God, like fangirling so hard over here. It's been crazy.
So you lost your mind. Did you scream out loud, or how did you?
Well, actually the first scream I think was after we gotten home from game two, or to the hotel, and my boyfriend calls, or he sends me a screenshot of the push notification from ESPN that he got on his phone, and he's like, dude, you're in SportsCenter. I was like, what? Like, my roommate Miranda, I was like, Miranda, I'm in SportsCenter, and she was like taking a test at this point in the hotel room, like she was in the middle of the exam, so I was like sitting, like, waiting for her to finish. I was like so nervous. I was like, oh my god, I'm like, I'm on ESPN. And then whenever she finished her test, I was like, what'd you get? And she told me what she got. And then I was like, well, I'm on SportsCenter right now. And she was like, no way. I was like, yes. So yeah, seeing that and then seeing like Lauren Chamberlain, who's like so influential, that was like.
That's awesome. That's cool. I love that part of this. Like when it goes viral in a sense, because it's cool to, you know, to have that experience in your life at least once. And that's the great, you know, I know social media has a lot of vices, but that's a really cool part now, is that we can kind of share in people's you know, celebrate people that do great things. And yeah, the Sports Center one was pretty cool. I would, you know, love seeing that. And that's amazing. Now we want to discuss really quick, because we have a little, we have some young girls that listen to this podcast and their parents, and give us kind of an idea how you got into softball and the pitching and everything. I know there's some pretty fun parts of your past that, you know, that, you know, some of your dancing skills maybe that we may need to bust out again, but give us some of your history on how you got into this sport.
Well, I'll tell you, I did not retain any of my dancing training, but I was a dancer from by the time I was 3 to the time I was 9. And then I dislocated my collarbone and decided I wanted to quit dancing. But both my brothers had played baseball. My sister actually played baseball. And my dad and my brother and my sister were always outside playing catch, playing, you know, tossing in the batting cages. And I just went along with it, but I'd watch like a movie or something. And then my dad got me my own glove and I decided I wanted to play. So when I was 10, my parents signed me up for Pflugerville Little League. And that was kind of it. And every day my dad, he took me in the backyard and I had to get a certain number of pitches and a certain number of hits before I could go back inside. And he kind of installed that work ethic into me.
That's great. Pitching, did you always feel like right when you started pitching that that's what you wanted to do? Did you always be a pitcher?
My very first team, I wanted to pitch, but I'd never done it before. I didn't even know the technique. And I remember one of the parents was like, well, you need to get her pitching coach, because if she doesn't know how, then she's not going to pitch. I was like, okay. But I actually played like third base and outfield. And it's so embarrassing because like in Little League, they put you in right field if you're the worst one. And I like played right field. But then when I started pitching, it's like, all right, well, you got to hit dad in the glove 30 times before you can go inside. All right. And then it goes to 35 and it goes to 40. And then it's like by the time I'm 12, I'm bigger than all the girls because I'm already a big girl. I'm 6 feet tall in cleats. So it's, I'm stronger, I'm bigger, I can move faster, I can pitch and throw harder than all the other girls. And so it's like, all right, well, this girl's going to be a pitcher. And I remember my dad always told me, you're either going to walk, I mean, you're either going to strike him out or you're going to hit him. Like, nobody ever got a hit. Nobody ever walked. And I just kind of ran with it. I always threw hard.
Did you hit some girls, Hope? Did you hurt some girls?
I used to cry whenever they cried. I hated it.
Your dad, man.
If I hit them, I would just cry.
No, I hope you don't do that now, but then college. No. Okay. I don't know how many you hit, though. I haven't seen you hit many people in college, but that would be kind of weird. Like, oh, wait, hold on. She just needs to compose herself. Like, that's... I guess it's good you strike them all out so you don't have to cry when you hit them.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, that's amazing. That is really, really cool. This is such a, you know, it's such a fun to hear how people get into the sport. And it sounds like it's a family tradition. I'm sure your whole family is celebrating with you with this latest national attention. I bet family group texts are quite interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. How now? I mean, we were talking and you... Now you got to catch up on studying, right? So what are the classes? What are you having to catch up on now to kind of before the next game so you can make sure you're not failing out of any classes there at UNT?
Yeah, so this is my first semester of my MBA. And I'm in a lot of like finance classes and we have a game tomorrow. And then on Thursday morning, we leave for El Paso. And then we have a 4-game series against UT El Paso, and then we come back Sunday night, and it's going to be crazy the next few weeks, especially once conference picks up.
What do you plan to do with that MBA, Hope? What's kind of the future for you with all that great education you're getting right now?
I'm not sure yet. I guess I have a year to decide, but sure. I'm really... Softball is like the one thing I'm very, very, very passionate about. And I coach a 14U team. I give lessons. And so I don't know, I might start doing with that. And with my business background, I'll be able to start up anything I want, I think. So I'm just going to go as far as softball takes me.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's a really, you know, a lot of the people we have on, I mean, the sport they're so passionate about, they want to stay in it. And it's great if you can give back to the next generation. And I'm sure you'll be, you know, this probably, you know, let's hope, you know, I know you're a little bit too early for NLI, for name, image, and NIL, sorry, name, image, and likeness. But maybe this boost will give you some more pitching, you know, lessons. Once you graduate, you can get some more clients here and use that business degree to kind of get you started on that professional career in terms of, you know, life after softball, and then even staying in softball, but making a living off of it is, I guess, what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. This is definitely a time where I kind of wish name, image, and likeness was already in play so you could benefit from that a little bit more, but I think, you know, you're getting a good bump with name recognition. That's for sure. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to let you go. I know you have to catch up on schoolwork. I know we're probably, you know, interview number 58 right now today, probably for you. Is there anything else, Hope, that you'd want to, I mean, anything that you'd want to tell, you know, any younger pitchers out there? I know probably some little girls are probably watching or looking at your story now, and anything, any advice you'd give them or things that you'd like to, you know, give to their parents or anything about just softball or pitching or something that maybe you wish you had known at their age?
I think competing every pitch is huge and staying in it, because pitchers don't get the luxury of taking a pitch off in a game, and focusing on those details will get you very far. And I think another thing is, this is happening to me at a mid-major level. So a lot of little girls, they have their sights set on, you know, Power Five schools, but like, you can still compete at every single level. And I think there are so many opportunities for girls just like me who weren't recruited big out of high school, but they can still make a huge name for themselves and make national news. And that's awesome. So
that is a perfect way to end. I am so grateful that you know, hopefully we can have you on again, but thank you for being the first repeat on this Players Only segment. Again, a perfect game, 21 strikeouts, amazing, first time ever in Division I history. So we thank you for joining us today. Everyone, make sure you download and subscribe to the D1 Softball Podcast so you can hear great interviews like Hope is Dope is what she's known as on Twitter, which is the dopest Twitter nickname, I must say. So download subscribe to the podcast anywhere you get your podcast, rate and review. And also make sure to subscribe to d1softball.com. You can look it up there right now. You can see we got an article up that has Hope as our, shockingly, our player of the week. I mean, I think we would have been, if we hadn't, it would have been a crime. So she was probably the easiest selection we've had of all of them. So, you know, d1softball.com, subscribe there where you can get tons of articles, team pages. You can see Hope's stats. We've got stats for every player, and a live scoreboard so you can track her next outing, see how many I'm sure there'll be a zero there by the opponent's name, judging by the history here. So thank you so much, Hope, for jumping on the D1 Softball Players Only Podcast. We'll look forward to having you on again. And, you know, I'm sure there's no really way you can top this, but I'm sure you'll do plenty of great things in the future to have you on again, because anything even close is pretty, pretty awesome.
Thank you so much.
What a great segment with Hope. Hope is Dope. And love that she's loyal to the D1 Softball family, the D1 Softball Podcast. I mean, we did a story, I think it was last year, on the ice cream. And we love North Texas. We love that they love D1 Softball. It's just great to have her on, especially with her dealing with, you know, all sorts of media all over the nation, world almost.
Yeah, it's been crazy for her. And she was saying, you know, I need to get back to studying. She's pursuing her MBA. So she's like, I have some classes with my finance classes to do, which is, you know, that's typical. But yeah, she's fun. I mean, and, you know, and just how she got into softball and kind of her words of advice for the younger players out there. It's pretty cool. And I love how she geeked out about, she said she was fangirling when Lauren Chamberlain retweeted, you know, so it's kind of cool. The ones that she considers like fangirling, she was saying, you know, Amanda Scarborough, Jen Schroeder all retweeted it, and she was like really excited about it. So love when players like that get the spotlight like she's getting, and you deserve it. When you strike out 21 in a perfect game, you should be on every national news broadcast everywhere, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong. I mean, the fact it's amazing. It's amazing that she accomplished it. and we're just so lucky to have her back on the podcast. Quickly, we're going to go through games coming up this weekend. Ree, who are your series to watch this weekend?
I got three. I'm going to keep my eye on Oklahoma, Texas. That's going to be a big one. Everyone kind of thought that would be, it's always usually for the Big 12 title. I think the way Oklahoma's playing, Texas is the huge underdog. So we'll see. But that's a big one. I'm sure you'll be tuning into that one too as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's just going to be, again, those two going head to head. I think this is going to be Oklahoma's first real test. I mean, they did play Arizona State in, I think it was February, end of February. But since then, I'm looking to see how Texas does against G and Shannon Sale and May. And it's just going to be a great series to watch.
Yeah. And then I got my eye on Florida at Alabama, which is always good, but this year is going to be really good.
Oh, Emily P. Tech and Gray Robertson, they're trying to get me to fly out there for that series. I mean, it is a big series.
It's that's one of the things that, like, even last week I was thinking in Arkansas, like, you know, I get the safety and it's cool. And they're still allowed to have a good amount of fans, which some places aren't. But this is the seat where I thought, man, that place would have been rocking, you know, and it's still really loud. But so in Rhodes State would have been rocking if when this one. So that's one I'm keeping my eye on.
I don't know about you, but I think they've gone from 30% to 50% of fans at Rhodes. So yeah, it's going to be a little bit louder than it was.
That's the thing. You know, I would have loved to see Arkansas's fans get a chance. They increased it a little bit on the berm last week, but so that's another one. And Arkansas goes to Georgia, which I might not have mentioned this one other than they're both, you know, like once in Georgia's come back there, but that, and they're two teams that, man, they can score. Yeah. They can score. So watch out. That could be at the Jack, man. That could be a light show at the Jack.
20-20.
I don't know. I don't know. Storms maybe, but even Storms, man, I'm telling you, that Georgia team, they always, they're gritty, gritty team. You know, Lou Harris, they totally take the persona of Lou Harris Champer there. Like just, you know, feisty.
That gif of her that they've posted on Twitter.
Yeah,
I was dying. I love it.
So those are the ones. How about the Pack? Let's finish up. What's the West Coast series we should be watching?
Pack, Washington, Oregon. That's going to be a great series. Gabby Plain going against Brooke Ynez. And then I'm going to head out to Arizona at Arizona State.
Got some sisters playing against each other in that one when you got Harper sisters.
The Harper sisters. We had Jessie Harper on the pod. I remember she talked about that.
Yeah.
How they wouldn't let her hit with the during quarantine.
Like, no, man, you're gonna think secrets here. I love that. You know, it's like, what's the deal?
Yeah, so the Harper sisters, the ball's probably gonna be flying out of the yard. Both teams. They both, again, both prolific offenses. So watch those two in the Pack. And then Oregon State comes down to play at UCLA, and UCLA has opened up their stadium to a few guests, player guests, and then I believe some fans now. So starting to open up here on the West Coast. So that's it for the D1 Softball Podcast. Week 10. Ree, any final thoughts?
No, man, it's going by fast. And I'm just, it's so fun, all these storylines. And there's just going to be more and more emerging. I mean, we got tons to talk. I love the unexpected ones like Hope, you know, it's just like, hey, man, you never know what's going to happen on the field. Every time I tune into a game, there's at least one or two things where I'm just like, wow, that's so cool. I mean, even like, I was just one example in that Georgia series, like Kentucky, Georgia scored two runs when, like, in the lot, they scored two runs on foul outs, like that they score, like, you know, I mean, it was like, I don't know. It's just weird things like that where every week I'm like, that is like so like we like it's baseball. I think baseball and softball, Tim Kirkjian's good for that. If you ever watch baseball, he's like amazed by that stuff, like a little kid. And he always makes me, that's the same way I feel about softball. You see something that you're like, wow, there's so many good players and so many good, like no matter what team you're watching, you're going to see something pretty cool happen. So I'm just excited. I can't wait to, as we keep counting down here.
Yeah. So subscribe to d1softball.com. Again, you can get 20% off an annual subscription. We've got subscribe, rate, review the podcast. Let us know what you think. And we will see you next week for the D1 Softball Podcast.